I'm going to talk about that in a bit. But as a background, so some of you guys like to read books. Some of you guys like to watch TV shows and movies, right? What's the common thing about books and TV shows and movies? It's about story, right? Yeah. The common thing are stories. See, like stories, it's a central part of us as human beings, right? And there's power in a good story. When there's a good story, what happens? You want to know what's going to happen next, right? And you're anticipating, ooh, and then how is this going to unfold? And this character. And then you start to like or dislike characters, right? So good TV shows, they know how to keep us engaged. How do they keep us hooked and make us want to watch the next episode? Yeah, that's the word, cliffhanger, right? It's like, dun, 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 something happens. Okay, I got to watch the next episode. I mean, Netflix, 5, 4, 3, 2. Okay, I want to watch it. We're people of stories, you know? We love stories. But here, I have a question for you guys. Do you believe that your life is a story? Do you believe that your life is a story? And do you believe that your life is an exciting story that's worth, you know, paying attention to and looking forward to? Do you guys believe that? I mean, I believe that. I believe it is. And I know that God believes it too. You know, one amazing thing for me being a pastor is I get to see your life stories unfold in real time, you know, before my eyes. I mean, especially in the high years, it's amazing. From grade 7 to 12, the amount of change you go through, but then, you know, your personality forming. And so that's something I'm so thankful for. And I'll guarantee you, I mean, I love watching shows on Netflix and even YouTube and things like that, but it's nothing compared to the excitement I find from watching your lives and your stories unfold. I really mean that. So, yeah, do you believe that your life is a story? And then what about though God? Do you guys believe that God has a great big grand story? Do you believe that? So here's what our faith is all about. You know, our faith really, if it boiled down to it, our Christian faith, it's a faith where we believe that God has a great big story. Now, in this real world, it kind of seems like, what does that mean, right? Because I don't see God, and like, God doesn't seem to be that real in my everyday life. But let's take a step back, okay? People of faith, we believe that God has a great big story. So the Bible itself, it's a collection of a lot of stories, right? But there's stories that really tell us a big narrative of God's story. And that's a story that continues on today and into the future. But here's the even greater thing. Our faith, it's about God's big story, but it's about God calling us to be a part of that great big story, right? It's not God's story in isolation. It's us being called to be a part of that story. So, I don't know. Do you believe that God is calling you to be a part of God's story in some way? What do you guys think? We probably don't think that way, right? When I'm at school in my class, I'm probably not thinking, is God calling me to be a part of God's big story? You're just worried about, oh man, this next test and this next quiz, right? But church is a place, I mean, we're supposed to come and reflect about our life. Because I really believe, you know what? Deep down, if you believe that God has a big story and that we're called to be a part of that story, it kind of changes how we look at life. Okay, so it'll change how you approach situations and whatnot. So Jocelyn did a good job reading today's passage. Who was the central figure in that passage? Huh? Say it out loud. I want to hear. Moses. Yeah. I mean, we've all heard of Moses growing up in church and whatnot, right? So this guy Moses, he lived quite the life. And it says here, I mean, he lived 120 years. Who knows how long he actually left, but it's a symbolic thing. Because you can divide his life up into three main stages, okay? First 40 years of his life, he grew up, where did he grow up? You guys know? Anyone know?
I don't know.
He grew up in Egypt, but what kind of life did he have? Was it like a high-class life, low-class life? High class life. Yeah, he was adopted. I don't know if you guys remember, you know, like, because before they were trying to kill the Hebrews, so his mother, like, put him in a basket, you guys remember, in a river. And then an Egyptian princess, like the daughter of the Pharaoh, found this baby and said, okay, we got to keep it. Right? So he grew up in the royal Egyptian household. High class, privilege, and all that. But then I don't know if you guys remember what happened. Like, but he realized his identity as a Hebrew. And then when he saw, like, you know, Hebrews fighting among each other, he's like, don't fight, right? What, yo, your brothers, man, why are you fighting? And they're like, who are you to tell us? And then, anyways, so the next phase of his life, he ran away. And then do you guys know what he did for the next 40 years of his life? And he lived in a land called Midian, far away. Basically, he lived a comfortable life, what we all want to do. He got married, found a wife, had kids, had lots of animals, sheep, you know, like, that's the equivalent of us, you know, cooking grills in our backyard and, you know, just, he's chilling, right? 40 years, I'm good. But then God said, hey, you, Moses, I need you to be a part of my plan. Basically, I need you to lead these people out of Egypt. Okay, so that's what, like, think about that, like a whole people out of slavery, out of Egypt, and all those stories, right? Like God sent locusts, flies, plagues, you know, all that stuff. And you guys remember all those kind of stories? Right? Moses, he lived a great life. And he did something amazing. But then something happened in this passage, right? What happened to Moses in this passage? What happened to Moses? Say it. I need to hear. You guys remember what happened in this passage? What happened to Moses? All right, Joel, let's put up the passage again. I want you guys to be engaged, okay? Because this is about life, you know? So, what happened? I'll give you a hint. It's towards the bottom of the screen.
Died.
Okay? Now, I asked the execs, like, what's all those first four verses about? So, let's just get a quick hit. Sarah, like, what's all this stuff? And Moses went out to the plains, and the Lord showed him the whole land. All this, there's a description of what this land is. What is that land? Yeah. Yeah. So that's the land. Remember the retreat we talked to Abraham? This is the land that God promised to Abraham and then his descendants, that I'm going to give you this great land and you guys are going to go there. So Moses was supposed to originally lead these people out of Egypt and then take them to the promised land. But what happened to the Israelites after they escaped Egypt? Where did they stay for like over 40 years? There's a word. Yeah, Caitlin? The desert, the wilderness. Okay. So basically, Moses and his generation of adults, like they went to the desert, but then they just died there. Okay? Just think about that. That's kind of a sad ending, isn't it? Like this great guy did this amazing thing, but he didn't get to see the promised land. So I mean, he went to the mountain and he saw it, but he didn't get to enter it. Okay? Think about that. I mean, that seems like a sad ending, because in our life, we have all these goals for ourselves. I want to do this and this. I want to be this. And our idea of success is when I achieve these goals, right? When I get there. That to me is a good life. Right? But here's the thing. In this passage, Moses didn't make it. It was actually Joshua, the next generation, who would actually be the ones to enter the promised land. So think about that. What does that mean? So that made me think. And I realized, you know what? I think that's how it is with our lives. No, we do. We make all these plans for ourselves, right? I know at your age, you have all these possible dreams and things like that. But here's the reality of life, right? Like, you know, sometimes we achieve some of them, but there are also goals we don't achieve. You know, that's life. But you know what? There's a message from this story. I think it's that's okay. Because in verse 10, there's a slide for it. Moses lived a full life, but still, it says here, never since has there arisen a prophet in Israel like Moses. Okay? What it's saying is, Moses didn't get there, but you know what? Moses still lived a full life, and he was revered as still one of the greatest prophets. Okay? So what does this teach us? Actually, so there's another lesson here. And this is my main lesson for today. Okay, fine. Moses in his lifetime, I mean, he lived a great life, but he didn't accomplish everything. But you know what? You know why? It's because Moses, He was just one part of God's great big story, right? God's story was to bring his people out of slavery. The desert time was to really teach them about what it meant to rely on God and then lead them into the promised land. So that's God's story. But Moses, he had a calling to be a part of that story. Okay, so if anything, that makes us a little humble. It makes us realize, okay, I'm going to do everything I can in my life, but you know what? It's just one part of God's great grand story. Do you guys know what I'm saying? Yeah, and someone else would be the one to actually take it to the next step. And so that's what, I think that's what our lives are like too. We're called to live our life fully. Yeah, make all these dreams and try to do what you can. But in the end, you know what? We take comfort in the fact that at the end of the day, this is, my life is just one part of God's great big story. What do you guys think? Yeah?
Disgusting.
I think it's great. So even if we fail at reaching some of our goals, God assures that it's that God's story continues. So here's another thing. So God has this great big story. After the time of Jesus, God blessed us with something else. Kind of, I'll give you a clue. Relates to our first question today. What did God bless us with? Where do we come together? Huh? Church. Yeah, really. At the end of the... So I thought, what is the church? So the church, I mean, has been a part of God's story for the last about 2,000 years or so. Right? I mean, there's a song from my childhood. I don't think you guys have learned it. It's a really old song. I don't, way before my time. But it goes like, I won't sing it because my voice is gone. But the words are, it says, I should have posted it. But it says, I am the church. You are the church. We are the church together. Do you guys know the song? All who follow Jesus all around the world. Yes, we're the church together. And then the verse goes, the church is not a temple. The church is not a steeple. The church is not a resting place. The church is the people. Okay? And those, I mean, it's a childhood song, but it's kind of profound. The church, it's not the building. It's not, you know, like just a place, but it's the people. The church is you. The church is me. And all through history, the church has been a part of God's story. We're called to be a part of God's story. I mean, I'll be honest. There are many times in history where the church, because it's composed of people, did many bad things, really horrific things, horrendous things, things that would make us embarrassed to call it the church. That's part of the reality. But yet, you know, God's grace has called the church to still be a part of God's story. So yeah, today is the 21st anniversary of St. Timothy. 21st, longer than all you guys have been around. And when I think about our church, as I'm sure you are, I'm very thankful. You know, think about it. There have been many, many people over the years who have contributed their love, their time, energy, prayers, right? To making the church what it is. Countless people. And look at our beautiful high C, right? It didn't just magically appear out of nowhere, did it? Right? There have been people, countless people who have poured in their love and, yeah, I was starting to tear up when I was writing this. I was like really feeling it, you know, like, yeah, let's concrete examples, you know, like this past year we had someone like Jonathan, right? What a great part of our IC has been, right? The love he showed. And then when we were studying this passage, like it reminded someone of, oh yeah, that's what Jonathan said, wasn't he? He was referring to this kind of passage, you know? People like Joel, you know, Laura, Josh, these are all names, right? People who have been a part of the high C, who have really given their love, you know, and they moved on. But it's kind of like this, isn't it, right? Moses passed away, but yet it said, let's go back to that passage, the next one. So there was a period of mourning, just like when our friends leave us, you know, we have a time of mourning, we cry at retreats and things like that, right? But then Joshua, son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him, right? We pass the torch down, right? And more people carry on this story. That's kind of what the point is, right? People come and go, but yet, when we are all here together, we are the church. Right? Ooh, I don't know why I'm feeling it, but And so right now is when we express thanksgiving, right? Because you and I, at this moment, it's actually my voice, it's just cracking. You know, we are the church together, right? So think about that. When we look at things this way, that's when our hearts are filled with gratitude. To have this kind of community, have this church, because you contributing your life, that's what makes a church. That you are St. Timothy, you know? You, each of you blessing us with your presence. So think about it. I mean, each of you come with your own life background and story, right? You've had your own experiences, you've had your own pains, joys, struggles. You know, some of you, like I said, were born here. Others came just very recently. And yet, we've all come together. It's like streams coming into a river together. We become one river, right? Flowing. That's how it is. We're part of God's story. You know, with your own life, you are building, making part of that story. You guys know what I'm saying, right? And that's the beauty of God's story. And that's the beauty of God's calling to us, to be a part of that story. And so that later on, when you look back, you can be like, yeah, you know what? That was something very special, you know? And my hope is that most of you will continue on to build on this story of St. Timothy. But, you know, some of you will also move on to other places in life, and that's part of the life rhythm, right? And if or when you do that, we'll rejoice, we'll cry together, we'll celebrate, but this is the life of God's story. And together, we pray, we support one another, and we try to ask God, where are you leading us? Where are you leading me individually, and where are you leading us together? Right? So in your own life too, I want you to think of your life as an unfolding story. You know, there's many disappointments in life, many setbacks, but you know what? That's part of your story. Don't run away from setbacks or disappointments, but accept that this is part of God's unfolding story in your life, that there's a purpose for all of this that you're going through. See, because in a great story, we don't know what's going to happen next. Right? That's what makes a story great, isn't it? If a story was so predictable, like, what kind of fun is that? There's mystery in a good story. Ooh, what's going to happen next? I mean, that's how it is with your life. You don't know what's going to happen next. And instead of being afraid of that, when we can trust that God is ultimately the master of the story, we have faith. We're like, okay, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm excited about it. I'm looking forward to it, right? So that's, we ask God to lead us in our story. Yeah, that's my vision for you guys. That's the vision for our church too. That we can continue to be a part of God's story as we come together. Right? So, I mean, happy anniversary to our church. Right? You are St. Timothy today, and you are also writing a chapter of the story of St. Timothy. So let's continue to write beautiful chapters. What do you guys think? Yeah, I think so too. And God bless you too. Right? In your life as your story unfolds. So, I want us to, let's really have a time to just reflect a little bit. Let this sink in, okay? So, we'll play a little song in the background, but now I'm going to lead us into a bit of reflection.